New Year, decade, and all that. So a nice, I suppose, very light subject to get started on, the British Royal Family. Look, see, I have to ask, right? The question is, that's been on the tip of my tongue. Why do you hate Britain so much? why?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure we've all day to get into the nuts and bolts as to why I allegedly, and I stress, I mean, allegedly.
You don't like Brexit. You don't like anything they do. You don't like the food. Now you're picking on the Royal Family.
Well, in fairness, only England or Great Britain or the United Kingdom is hardly renowned for its culinary delights. So let's not assume.
Wetherspoons is very underrated.
It's known for good ale, fish and chips, but not a lot else. No, it's just when I read the article about the Royal Family, well, in particular Harry and Meghan, it wasn't so much everything that came before. I couldn't care less in general about a monarchy being in charge, no monarchy actually has any authority or rule over a country anymore that I'm aware of, bar maybe in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. But in terms of the English royal family, they've never bothered me particularly because I'm not actually a taxpayer. I don't fund their lifestyle. If I was a resident within the United Kingdom and I became aware that Harry and Meghan, they're not the only ones guilty of this, and I say guilty with a strong word, because you kindly posted an article into the group which state the figures, like the maintenance figures to maintain the royal family from year to year. That's not including all the other money that they get from the government, £70 million, of which Harry and Meghan spent £2.5 million. I know that they've said they will repay that now, just to updo or renovate their house, which I find in this day and age absolutely disgusting, that there's human beings that are using taxpayers' money, £2.5 million of which, to make sure that their house is more habitable in accordance with their desires and wishes. I don't think that's fair at all. I don't think that's right. I don't think there's any place for that in the world at all.
Okay, I mean, look, I agree with you. The idea of, you know, a monarchy.
How do you feel as a taxpayer, knowing that your hard-earned pounds are being spent to fund a lifestyle of people that were born into a life of luxury and a life of privilege? Do you think that's fair and adequate and reasonable in this day?
I feel like they're kindred spirits. if only, no, look, I mean, on a serious note, I think the idea of the royal family is a bit farcical. It is. On one hand, and there's two trains of thought. On one hand, I look at it is farcical. It is ridiculous that somebody who is simply just born into a family gets to live this life of luxury, and we, British subjects. They're not really called that anymore because, you know, it sounds a little bit antiquated, shall we say. But
that's what you are, though.
But anyway, you know, you've got that side of it and you think, okay, that's a bit much. Why am I working every hour God sends me, and basically some of my hard-earned dosh is going towards these guys? But then on the other hand, I do look at it from a pragmatic point of view where I think, okay, as ridiculous as that is, as the royal family and the concept of the royal family is, who don't rule the country anymore, I do look at the plus side of it, the amount of money that they bring into the country. And they do bring in.
Do they?
They bring. I think it's about $2 billion.
I know, but that's like, if you are, I get what you're saying. But if you're to assume that two billion pound is directly attributed to the royal family, you're also assuming that people will come to London, and I mean specifically London, to see the royal family. That's not true.
I disagree with that.
It's not the sole purpose of their visit.
Absolutely. So you come to see London, not just the royal family.
No, but but why would you come to see London? I mean, would you not just go to New York? It's New York is a much more exciting city. I love New York City, by the way. It's a much more exciting city. You get a bit more bang for your buck. 24-hour subway. It's a city that never sleeps. Where London is still very 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. You've only got night tube Friday night and Saturday night into Sunday morning, and that is it. And that's not on all the tubes.
It's a lot more to London than just Buckingham Palace.
No, but what I'm trying to say to you is it's part of the package. But, you know, people, if you look at New York, London, people. But look, they'll look at New York and go, New York's a better city, right? And it is a better city. But London is the history of it. And part of the history is the royal family. It's the Tower of London. Well, it's not in London, but it's on the outskirts of London. Windsor Castle, you know, Buckingham Palace, all these places. It's all part of that. And trust me, when you have the Americans coming over, the Chinese, you know, they love it. They absolutely love it. Maybe if you're from the continent and, you know, you've got like the royal family in different countries still throughout different parts of the continent, maybe it's not such a big deal. But when you come from a country like America, which is a relatively relevant history, relatively new country, and China, well, you know, their history's gone out the window. They have a communist party in charge for the last few years.
History's gone out the window.
Well, it has, hasn't it? They've rewritten their history.
Right, you know, off country with thousands of years of civilization.
No. I haven't.
How dare you?
No, I haven't. But the Communist Party have. That's what I'm saying. They have thousands of years of history and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, communism takes over, then that goes for a hop. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You know, but they come over now and they love it. You have so many Asian tourists that come into London. And it's part of it. I'm telling you now, the amount of people you see outside getting photographs outside Buckingham Palace, it's a pain in the arse when you're, you know, you're rushing to get to work. But
I do agree with you. I know it's a part of it. I just don't think it's on average, the sole purpose of a tourist visit to England or to London, specifically London.
I don't know. I mean, look, if someone goes to you, right, Sean, I'll bring you a little bit in this one, Sean. Mm-hmm. If someone goes to you, oh, the Queen, who do you think of?
What do you mean, who do I think of? The Queen?
Yeah.
The royal family, the rest of them.
Well, which royal family?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the British, the Windsors, yeah.
Yeah. You're not thinking of, I think,
Queen of Denmark or whatever, yeah.
Queen of Denmark, Belgium, I think they have a king and queen.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, definitely. Who exactly I picture, yeah.
You know, you think of the Windsors.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you think of. They are an institution. And I think if you get rid of that, as ridiculous as it is, and it is ridiculous, but celebrity is ridiculous. You know, like you pay the wages of a footballer, you buy. You buy Sky or BT, you buy the programs, you go to the matches, you buy the jerseys, that all funds a player's wages, yet you can't get near the lad. Cause yeah,
I think you fit the nail on the head. They are celebrities.
Yeah, but they are the original celebrity.
I would say Jesus is personally funny.
I don't see any selfies with the Lord. Yeah, fair enough. But
yeah. But
I mean, in a more traditional sense, you know, who doesn't have like supernatural powers, although you don't know what the Queen gets up to. But look, they are the original celebrity, the royalty.
But do you feel that, so you would agree with the fact that if they raise £2 billion to the London economy, they're worth the funds that they receive from the UK taxpayer?
Yes, because they only receive about 80 million from the taxpayer and they bring in 2 billion. That is why they are still, you know, tradition. Britain is mad on tradition. It cannot let go of the past. It's why Only Fools and Horses is streamed or shown every day and probably has huge viewing figures. This country cannot let go of the past. It's one of its problems, one of its charms, and one of its problems.
Yeah.
I think if you look at it, you know, why are we giving you 2 billion? I mean, money comes into everything in this country, believe me on that. They cut everything back, and the only reason why their money has gone up, because the family gets larger, is because they are useful. They bring money into the country, and you may not like that, you know. And let's be honest, but just to finish up on that point, when Meghan and Harry got married, and even when William and Kate got married, you better believe it, there was people in Ireland watching that on the telly. I know
it was people. Yeah, it was actually very over here, yeah.
It was shown live on RTE as well.
Yeah, because, you know, it's big news, it's world news, it's shown all over. You're not going to see, like, the King of Denmark getting married or, you know.
You would.
Yeah, it's not going to be shown on RTE, like, you know, it's not going to be on 6-1 News.
What did you think? Well, no, hang on, I'll give a scenario to you. What about if you came across someone, let's say at a bus stop, and you're chatting away to them, and they see you as a bit of a gimp, and they start telling you all their life story, and they happen to reveal that they come from an extremely wealthy family. They have a trust fund set up in their name. They've always lived a life of luxury. But now, all of a sudden, they've had an epiphany, and they've decided that they want to become financially independent, notwithstanding that they have millions upon millions upon millions of pounds in their own bank account. And they're looking at you, and they're saying, all right, okay, I'm doing the honorable thing. I'm doing the right thing. Are you likely going to go, well, fair play to you. Congratulations. You've decided now, after all this time, after you accumulate all this wealth, that you have all this property that is worth X amount of money. Are you likely to turn around and go, well, you know, fair play to you. I really respect that decision. Or are you, like me, going to go, well, I think that statement is a fucking joke? Because that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah. Have advocates.
Yeah, they don't have to work again for the rest of their life. They're not going to work again for the rest of their life.
No, they've abdicated. I think...
That pissed me off when they said that.
Yeah, Megan...
Person to turn around and go, you know what, fair play to you, doing the right thing. That's a great thing that you're doing. Fucking hell no. You're an incredibly wealthy young man. You're an incredibly wealthy young woman, and you will always be for the rest of your life. You'll never want or ask for anything. To say that you want to be like everyone else out on the street doing the 9-to-5, would just shag off and get a life.
It's impossible, because £8 million will go towards her security. That will be paid by the British taxpayer, which, again, I understand, because they are assets.
Yeah, Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, was talking about giving a dig out.
Have a nice.
What's going on here? I just think they are incredibly privileged. She's not as privileged because she hasn't had the same upbringing as him. But to expect my sympathy or my congratulations or my goodwill, given that the lifestyle that they have and they will have, absolutely not. And them saying that they're going to dedicate their lives to female empowerment, I went, hang on a sec. Since when has Prince Harry been the savior or the warrior for female empowerment? I'm not saying that's not an honorable cause. Absolutely not. But that is directly coming from her. He's had very little input into how they want to structure and live their lives for privacy reasons. Yes, I get it. They have a child now and they want to have kids. I respect that. I understand that 100%.
Yet again, there's two trains of thought. I see what you're saying with that. Absolutely. You know, 9-to-5, you know, with 24-hour round-the-clock security paid by the taxpayer, which will come to about $8 million.
And millions of pounds in the bank as well.
Yeah. But on one hand, I could understand with Harry. I mean, look, I think Meghan, I don't think she ever thought that the royal life was for her. If she kept, apparently, I don't know for a fact, but apparently she kept her Hollywood agents and all this, you know, and she is more now. She will. Her career has been elevated now. She was a bit part player on the TV show she was in, and they actually re-edited the program, put more of her bits in because she was going out with Harry.
Oh, did they? Yeah. That suits that she was in.
Possibly, yeah. I think it was suits. So, you know, on one hand, I think she has planned this. The whole royal life and the way of life wasn't for her, and I understand that, because then you see with Harry.
But she knew that walking into it, though, Dunny.
She
turns around now and goes, all right, I don't want this lifestyle. She could have reasoned.
But with Harry, hold on. Let me get to the crux of the argument. But with Harry, you know, you have to remember, his mother was basically killed by paparazzi.
Allegedly.
Sorry, Dunny, go on.
Well, having, and don't mean to cut you off, Sean, but having, you know, doing the line of work I do where you're walking out and you have paparazzi taking photographs. And let me tell you something, man. If you ever stand with a paparazzi flashing that camera in your eye, you cannot see a thing. I was blinded. I just saw white lights. They are bright. And they hounded the mother when they were driving through. Now, I don't know everything about that. I know the driver had bit alcohol take and all this stuff, but I mean, if you ever see those paparazzi lights, they hound you and they come after you and right in your face. So, you know, you have one side, you have his relationship with the media has been completely soured, and that's understandable, whether you're royalty or not. And also, the week before she died, the media were absolutely tearing her apart. Now, I don't know if you lads remember this. Look, you might not remember this as much because you were probably in Luxembourg at the time.
I do. I had English TV, so I was fully exposed to everything around the case. Yeah.
But I remember when it happened that Sky went into the sort of the scenario that the Americans, you know, something that the Americans would do where, oh, the nation's mourning, so what will we do? We'll just show loads of Simpsons episodes. They shut the station down. And then where you were supposed to have an ad break, they would have a still shot of Princess Diana. And, you know, just like different shots of her. There was no adverts whatsoever. Sky One shut down and he just played Simpsons episodes. It was like in 9/11 when that happened. They thought World War III was coming, the end of the world was happening. There was a song U2 had out at the time called Peace on Earth, and they kept playing that constantly on the radio. You know, it's like calm the nation down. You know, it was a bit like that, like cheer the nation up, show them the Simpsons. But I was watching a documentary on YouTube, Hitchens, not the guy that's alive, it was the guy that died a few years ago, and he had a documentary.
Is it Christopher Hitchens?
I think that's his name, and he had this documentary investigating the week before Princess Diana died. The Mail, everybody was slating her, absolutely ripping her apart. And then when it happened, when the crash happened, there was like various journalists were sent home for the week. No, look, you know, we need to send you away for a week or two because your stuff was too negative about Princess Diana. And then everything had to be this beautiful memorandum towards her. Like, you know, she was a princess, you know, she was special. She was this, she was that. And they had been slating her for the whole week. So, don't mean to go off on a tangent here, but Harry, you know, remembers that clearly.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
So in my personal opinion, I don't think, and Sean, get you in on this one. Sorry, you've been kind of frozen out on this one. I just personally think that if it wasn't, if he, and it's probably the same with William, if he wasn't the next in line for the throne after his, you know, after his dad, he's third in line for the throne. You know, maybe he would throw the towel in and say, I can't be arsed with this. And Harry's never going to be king unless it's an absolute tragedy. I think, why am I going to bother with this? Why do I want the scrutiny? And to be fair with Meghan, she has been picked on a bit.
She has, but my argument against that is that, as I said a few minutes ago, her projected future and her projected life, given that she married a royal, was always going to be fundamentally different. And for her to turn around and say, oh, no, I don't like this anymore. Yeah.
You live in obscene luxury and comfort. However, and to be fair to the Queen, you have royal duties. So you have to travel the length and breadth of the country. Yeah, again, in luxury, I get that. But, you know, you go to openings of schools, you go to theatre productions, you launch things, you go around the Commonwealth.
Not for regularly, though.
But with the Queen,
it's not a tough life, Donny.
No, listen, I love it.
It's not a working life either, though.
No, but there are duties that you carry out. You travel everywhere, you know.
If I was getting paid that much money, I'd do it as well. I'd do it with a big smile.
I know.
And I wouldn't put my hand out going, oh, it feels sorry for me. This is a tough life. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Come around this little tin. Have you got a euro for a hostel? No,
don't feel sorry for them at all. And have that much money in the bank. You were voluntarily choosing, well, they're not voluntarily choosing to do it, but this feel sorry for me nonsense, piss off.
I don't feel sorry. Sean, well, we'll bring you into this one, right? Obviously, look, she's a heartless bastard.
I won't disagree with her, sir.
No. What do you make of it? I mean, she's walked into a royal family. She knows there's duties. Like, that's a trade-off. You live in this obscene wealth and comfort, but you travel everywhere. You're under intense scrutiny. Your every move. Like, yeah. You actually have royal commentators. Like, if you wear a blue dress instead of a red dress, this apparently means something. You know, the way you don your hat, the way you tilt your elbow. It's all fucking nonsense, but it's all completely... Everything you do is scrutinized.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that. You know, she's coming from America. It's a completely different culture. And maybe perhaps she didn't realize how much scrutiny she will be under. And, you know, there is a lot of that sort of old school sort of, like you're saying, you know, the manners, and you have to wear, you know, I was reading something about she has to coordinate with the Queen for a lot of the visits that they go on. And a few times she got it wrong and she was hounded by them for it and stuff. So, yeah, I see from her perspective, maybe it wasn't everything she thought it would be, and she just wants out. And as you mentioned with Harry, I think he is, he would love to kind of escape in one way, but then he obviously can't. He knows he can never really escape from that whole lifestyle. He's so famous. And, you know, with the press, I know he had his own run-ins with them. You probably remember he was dressed up as a Nazi early 20s. So, yeah, it's like they're never going to be out of the public eyes, but it's, I don't know, it's, yeah, they're not, we don't need to worry about them anyway in terms of wealth. They're going to do all right. Yeah, it's, I think, you know, obviously, what's her name? Kate Middleton, isn't it? And, William, they're like the, you know, the ideal royal couple. They're very, very straight. They're very, very serious. They take everything very serious. And Harry was always the sort of the, what would you call him? The black sheep of the family, the tearaway, you know? And, well, that's how they sort of portrayed him anyway. You know?
Yeah, that's just the way they portrayed him. Yeah, it's very hard to get an accurate notion or perception or observation as to how they really are, because your filter is through the eyes of the media.
Yeah,
and whatever bias or stamp they want to put on it, that kind of forms people's opinion. So in that sense, I absolutely agree with what you and Dunny are saying, that Meghan Markle is being derided unfairly by the press.
Do you think it's to do with a race?
No, not at all. No, absolutely.
I'd say more culture, because she's from where? She's from California, isn't it? LA.
Absolutely not. I think if any assertion that she is being criticised or being attacked because of her race is an absolute farce.
Danny Baker tweet, do you remember the photograph where he put a chimp with a...
It's playing the race card. It's race baiting. It's become the lowest form of defence in this day and age. You've got no other argument. All right, okay, then you're just being racist. No, I'm not being racist. The reason, the characteristics that I am making a comment that you don't agree on are not based on the color of your skin. And unfortunately, that's the way that the world has become, that any judgment or criticism cannot be based on logic or fact. It has to be because I am somehow discriminating you or I have some type of phobia. That's the only reason why I feel different about you. Absolutely not. So no, Dunny, that guy's an idiot.
Okay. Who, Danny Baker?
Yeah, I think he's an idiot.
You know, he claims that he didn't understand the connection. For anyone who doesn't know, wasn't it? He pictured a monkey baby or something like that? It was a while ago. I can't really remember. And he claims, obviously, not just a connotation of comparing black people with monkeys as a racial insult. But he claims he didn't know. Now he must be 50, 60 odd. So he should, most people know of that. But it could be, I forget the context in which that image was. I just remember.
Yeah, well, controversial.
I'm trying to find this here.
Yeah, I'll link it anyway in the podcast.
Yeah. So basically what it is, it's basically, Jesus Christ, how did he ever think this was a good idea?
What did he do?
So, oh my God. So it's a picture of like a man and a woman standing there, probably members of the royal family, actually. I think that could be the Queen Mother. I'm not too sure. So basically, yeah, and they're standing there and she's walking hand in hand with a little monkey, little chimp dressed in a bowler hat and jacket and trousers. It's actually adorable. And a walking stick. And he sent this tweet. Sean will put it in the comment, or it will link it, and it has Royal Baby Leaves Hospital, and he's got this picture, and it's like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
How did he
deleted after 10 minutes or something like that. He claimed he didn't understand the
context. He was fired. I mean, he worked for the BBC. You know, what did he think was going to happen? Yeah, really stupid. But speaking of racism,
that is bad. Yeah.
That you've seen it there, yeah. Well, speaking of racism and animals, and racism of the other sort, actually. So, a bit of a modern day warrior, actually. A certain Piers Morgan, he has a colourful past of his own. He's sort of leading the charge. He's like the hero that nobody asked for. I mean, ever, for anything. But he seems to be on Good Morning Britain kind of leading the fight for, you know, the anti-left, I suppose. The common sense revolution. He seems to be sort of at the forefront of. And I never thought I'd ever agree with anything that Piers Morgan says, but he's actually kind of coming out with some sense. So anyway, he has claimed racism, that he has been racially abused because somebody has called him a fat white gammon.
Yeah.
The Scottish Sun picked this up on Twitter, and you know, you've had the usual comments on it. Some people said his skin color was used as an insult. That's literally racism. And one person commented, so LOL, white people finally excited that they are finally victims of racism. And of course, the person, well, judging by his photograph, he is black. And basically, yeah, I mean, is that racism? I mean, he is claiming, he's commented himself, if you use someone's skin color to abuse them, you are a racist. Sean?
Well, I mean, the definition of racism is the discrimination against someone based on their ethnicity or skin color. So, yeah, it is technically racism. So it's,
Well, is he just playing the victim card? Because there is actually a cabin victim card. We'll also put that in the links. And yeah, has picture of somebody holding a card. Gammon victim card, big bold red letters. Please check off one or more of the options below to choose your scapegoat for your unhappiness and overall failure in life. Leftists, do-gooders, the media, immigrants, Muslims, liberals, Antifa. Facebook roasted gammons. That's a bit... Yeah.
Well, look, he's been, like, if you understand what he's doing, he is being facetious, but at the same time, he is raising a valid point, that if he wasn't Caucasian or white, he would easily be able to claim discrimination and everyone would accept it at face value because he isn't white. He's been determined or treated differently or a statement's been made on the basis of the color of his skin. Therefore, that in this day and age is racist. But if you're, unfortunately for a lot of people, well, maybe not even unfortunately, I'm not sure how much people really care about it. But if you are Caucasian or white, you are by proxy deemed guilty of the sins of your forefathers or your foremothers for all the acts, for all the bad will, for all the racism that has gone previously as a person of white color, you are somehow inherently guilty or culpable for racism before. Therefore, it's people's time of color who have been treated differently previously. It's their time. It's their time now. Therefore, any negative comments or remarks made to people who are white is acceptable now because they've had their turn. It's our turn now, and which completely defeats the whole notion of what racism or the fight against racism is. Is that you have all of these valid efforts and all these marvelous causes that are trying to combat racism, but then you've got the left. Not the left definitely do, and they're not only guilty of it, but you've them excusing or propping up this notion that you can only be racist. You're only allowed to claim racism if you're not white. And that's the current paradigm at the moment, which is completely illogical, completely farcical, and it's going to do more harm than good. And it's going to stop real valid reasons and valid causes that people are undertaking because you've this illogical imbalance going on in the whole discussion, the whole argument. And that's what Piers Morgan was trying to do. I think he was smart to do. Yeah. And I went, you know, fair play to you. I get exactly what you're doing. I agree with you, even though he doesn't really care about the comment anyway.
No, he's thicker skin than that. But I mean, I have seen white people being absolutely crucified for a comment less with racial connotations, but less so than the white gammon comment, and absolutely crucified for it. Mm-hmm. But because it seems to be the other way around, no one really give a shit. Which, you're right. I think it's gross.
It's become acceptable now. It's become acceptable in a modern psyche. You can say what you want to a white person, you can't say what you want to another person. Yeah. Not that you should be doing it in the first place. Absolutely not. But if you're a person of white color, you are not allowed to claim racism. I'm sure if I claim racism in the like where I work right now in the HR department, they throw me out. They say, "What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?"
They'd hardly do that.
I think they would. I think they. Not that they throw me out, pick me up by the jeans and fuck me out the door. Not necessarily they wouldn't take me seriously, but I don't think, you know, they wouldn't know how to deal with it. They kind of go, this is a very unique case. A person of white color is claiming racism against them. Is that really a thing? Is that really right? Can the person really do that? Do we really have to deal with this? That's the impression I get, anyway.
There does seem to be that. Yeah, that, you know. Yeah.
There's no parity in the fight against discrimination whatsoever. Either everything is discriminatory in the same way and it's dealt with in the same manner, or it's not. And in today's age, unfortunately, it's not.
Well, that's how it should be. It should be, you know, if you're discriminated based on something like race, it should be taken as seriously, regardless of your skin color.
But
if you follow that line of thinking, and let's say you carry on with that for, I don't know, 20 years, then you generally have systemic racism against a group of people. It doesn't matter that historically it used to be the other way around, which is kind of bollocks anyway, because, you know, racism is a back and forth thing, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, we read about, say slave trade as being a racist thing. But, you know, we don't really talk about things like the Arab slave trade, which is the largest slave trade. And it was a class system rather than a race system, you know. And, you know, it's as if, you know, I don't know, white people generally should be held responsible for the American Atlantic slave trade, but we don't really want to talk about the larger slave trade. Nobody really talks about that anymore.
Or the Irish were sold slaves by the Africans, by the Algerians, I believe. The Irish were sold. There was a whole village went missing in the west of Ireland. No one ever mentions that.
The Portuguese and the Spanish and the French and the Italians were heavily involved, and the English as well were heavily involved in the slave trade around the world.
Yeah, the Belgian, Congo, and there's all sorts of horrible stuff if you look into it. Yeah,
horrible stuff. But I, at the same time, I am not guilty for those crimes.
Yeah, you're not. It's like religion nowadays. You know, if you're born with original sin, and it's the sin of your ancestors, even if they don't.
I had a very depressing conversation with us. Every fucking conversation too that depressing. God, what a way to start a Sunday, eh? Royal family racism, right? No, I mean I was having this conversation with this young girl, and one of the places I work in, and she was on about how she feels guilty, you know, for being British. And I was like,
colonized, yeah, that sort of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of put it to her this way. I said, look, don't feel guilty. Yes, you're Britain is responsible.
Don't feel guilty, oh my God.
Yeah, you know, like, Britain is responsible. Listen, love, it's okay. Have your fish and chips. It's grand. Britain is responsible for atrocities all around the world, but any colonial power is. And I put it to her this way. I said, look, you know, the Romans tried it. They did it for a bit, you know, and then they went. The Vikings tried it. The Celts did it for a while. You know, the Arabs tried it. The Brits have done it in terms of globalization. I think they owned one third or one quarter of the globe. A huge amount. The sun never set on the British Empire at one stage. Then we kind of started that kind of crashing down. You know, the Portuguese tried it but failed. The Spanish tried it but failed. The Dutch tried it but failed. The Scots tried it, went bankrupt, had to form a union with Britain, you know, cap in hand. You know, America's trying to do it right now. Everyone, you know, the Russians tried it, the Germans tried it twice. Everyone tries to, like, it's not just Britain that is responsible for this colonialism and for these atrocities. There's so many countries. Blood in their hands. That is just history. History is not pleasant.
Yeah, do you know the history of Mongolia?
I don't.
And Genghis Khan, the biggest known empire to ever conquer the most geographical territory in the world is the Mongolian Empire under Genghis Khan and all his ancestors. And they say that one in 20 Chinese people are directly related to Genghis Khan. Because
he's a busy boy.
He's a very busy boy. he fucked his way around Asia. Like he did like all the way into Eastern Europe, or the western part of their empire. But then again, like, you're not going to look at a Mongolian person and ask one to apologize for the atrocities of Genghis Khan. No, are you? It's a farce notion to have. Like, did she feel sorry for you that you are Irish?
No. it's like
the irony of it, though.
It's like that picture of from the Passion of the Christ where guy, you know, like it's an offset picture where the guy's just sitting there talking away. Like, this is Britain talking to Ireland about their woes, and you see like Jesus sitting there, Ireland, you know, it's covered in blood. That's the funny thing. You have to add to sort of educate her. Well, you know, if you want to start the apology, love, you know, look at me for a start. You know, you have to explain that. It's quite funny. I actually read something in the Daily Mail, surprise, years ago when I was working in the bookies, and you know, any piece of paper that you would read, because I'd read the any paper that we got for the form, because you'd be so bored off your face sitting there 14 hours behind a glass. And they were on about, has Britain been responsible for the world's, you know, for the misery that we find ourselves in the world, you know, the separation of India into Bangladesh, Pakistan and India, partition, I should say, sorry, you know, the partition, the strip, the Gaza strip, all these issues all around. And they never mentioned Ireland.
No.
I thought that was crazy that they never mentioned Ireland. It's first, the British Empire's first conquest, and the one that had always struggled to keep under wraps, that could never keep it under wraps. They always struggled with Ireland. Ireland was always this big, major pain in its arse. And, you know, I thought that just fascinated me. You know, at the time, I'd only moved over, but, you know, that lesson was quickly learned.
Want to segue into Brexit now, because we easily
No. Shh.
We're not going to do that.
We're not doing that. We'll talk about that.
It is ironic that this person you were speaking to would somehow have British guilt about what Britain did previously over hundreds and hundreds of years. But by the same token, like, I'm not going to look at a British person with hatred and disgust and malaise because of what the British Empire did previously. They are completely a distinct, separate people. They are not guilty at all. They have had no involvement in what happened previously. So for her to feel guilt over it, I'd say, like, you know, try and enjoy life a bit more, love. You'll be all right. It's more important.
I don't think that opinion was shared amongst your fellow Irish people with the when they tried to commemorate the RAC, the 100th anniversary of the RAC.
No. That's a whole other thing. I think you and one of our friends should have a chat about one day.
No, I don't think that'll ever happen. But I thought it was crazy, especially in to commemorate 100 anniversaries of 1920 and the atrocities that were caused there, the madness within. But yeah, absolutely mad, absolutely crazy. Right, lads, I think we'll leave it there. So, well, thanks for that, lads. We'll leave it there. Fascinating discussion as always. Probably. The one thing I'll take away from this is that apparently Piers Morgan is a modern day warrior. Oh, and looks, he hates Britain. But of course, anyone who listens to the podcast or know him personally would know that anyway. Thank you very much for listening. Of course, you can subscribe to us anywhere. Podcasts are uploaded. So please don't hesitate. You got the comments section. Please give us your feedback. We do love it every now and again. Even the bots, if you're out there, please, just anything we can read would be fantastic. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you very soon down the road. Bye now.
Get up the yard.